Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. Triple M Rocks the Footy. This is Triple M NRL.
Great to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, no matter where or how you are listening to us across the country as we head towards kickoff in this afternoon's game. The Warriors taking on the Broncos from Mount Smart Stadium. Peter Sterling will be in to help call that game, and he'll join us very shortly as we preview that and many other things that are going on over this weekend. Wendell Saylor's with us, Ryan Gerline. My name's Tony Squires. James Hooper is at the track, but he'll be back with us next week. Just a couple of things, gentlemen. I want to talk to you, Jason Clark, 150th game, milestone game for him in South Sydney in their win over the Roosters 26-14 as I check out that Tyre Power scoreboard. He was saying during the week, Wendell, and I thought this might interest you, that 150 games, he remembers very clearly his first NRL game, his first game in first grade. And the first tackle in that very first game was one Wendell Saylor. And he said it didn't go so well for him. Was it a memory for you, or because it's halfway down your career, you couldn't care less?
No, I probably didn't remember. It was another one that I just threw off, you know. Like, they tried to tackle me. I didn't make too many tackles, but, mate, my job was to make metres and score tries, and I obviously did plenty of that because I think I'm 25th or 27th on the all-time trying scoring list or something.
Are you?
Yeah.
Right, 27th or 25th.
Yeah, something
we'll look it up and get that stat right before the afternoon's out.
Mate, really appreciate, really respected what he's done so far in his career. For a guy his size to play, you know, in the front row and obviously a bit of everywhere back row, real humble kid, and he's done a really good job, I think. So well done to Jace Clark.
And speaking of real humble kids, you as a young man, when you were growing up and you get your first opportunity in first grade, do you remember those kinds of details?
Not so much the first tackle. The first time you get the jersey, I was in reserve grade. I played 21s in reserve grade all in 1 month. The reserve grade coach didn't like me for some reason. I'm not sure why. Billy Gardner, he thought I was a bit full of myself. So Wayne Bennett actually overruled him and said, mate, you got to pick this kid. So he picked me in the next week. Gold Coast Seagulls were playing the Broncos local derby. 57,500 people. And, mate, I was excited too.
At Suncorp?
Yeah, but I was about, at ANZ. So I was just sort of going to watch the game and that. And anyway, they come in and said, mate, you're on the bench. Calvin Giles threw me the jersey. And I thought, how good's this? I put it on. All my mates back home and Serena will see me. You know, even later on when I get to City Rowers, you know, a few people will see me on the sideline, maybe a few girls because I was single at the time. So I thought, you know, I wasn't being a lair, but I thought this would be great for my sort of exposure.
Of course.
With 15 minutes to go, mate, Wendell, you're up. So I ran out there and, mate, all I remember is that many people, and just remember not making any tackles, taking one run, and I was just too scared to drop the ball. So that was probably my first, experience of first grade.
It's all about being seen.
Yeah.
What about you?
My personality or two of the team.
Oh, yeah. Mine was absolute shock as well. Back in the day, you'd sort of play 21s, and then they'd sit me on the bench for reserve grade, then sit me on the bench for first grade. But I never got on reserve grade, and I never expected to get on in first grade. So the day that Graham Murray called out, and I was just basically, you know, sitting there watching the game as a spectator, as I did like for about 10 or 12 weeks in a row, when he called out, I said, it was almost like, oh, you're kidding. So there was about 15 minutes to go. We were playing South Sydney at Wollongong Showground at the time, and this is 91. We were well ahead, so I think he was just trying to, you know, give a young guy an opportunity. So he threw me out there in the centres, and as I came on the field, we kicked the ball and we chased down, and I got to dummy half, and Jim Sedaris, who was a pretty sort of strong lad at the time, he jumped into dummy half and dummied to go the open side, and I was a second marker and then took off down the short side. And so I was one-on-one in my first play with Jimmy Sedaris, and he put his palm fair in my face and just knocked me over. And I thought, oh, shit, you know, that can only get better from there. Funny thing about that was, and we sort of went on and won the game, had a pretty good side that year, I couldn't keep up. You know, and I'd come from doing okay in the lower grades, and then with the first grade side, when they'd make a break, I was so off the pace. I went home that week and convinced myself that I couldn't play first grade. Yeah. I was like, I was so far off the pace. It was such a step up from reserve grade and 21s that I just doubted everything. They were making breaks, and I used to be, you know, that was part of my game. Like, when there was an opportunity, I used to be able to, you know, latch onto it. I couldn't get near these guys, and never thought I'd be able to, but
That's game one.
Did eventually.
But actually, Freddie Fittler had one of the best quotes. When I played Penrith, it was my first starting game, so I've come to the bench twice, and Willie Kahn got injured. And as Freddie does, Freddie did this interview not long after, and he goes, you know what, Willie Kahn got ruled out, And the next minute we thought, oh, we'll go right here. And then this big black dude with a big afro just came on the wing. And we just saw, where they grabbed this dude from? So only Freddie could say that and think that back in the day. But against Penrith on a Saturday night out there, and it was my first try, and it was the best because Penrith are pretty hard to beat. 1993. Yeah.
There you go. Memories of first games where one man's coached 401. Craig Bellamy from the Storm, they got the job done for him over the Knights 40-14. We're going to hear a bit from him as well. Sterlo joining us as we preview. Big game, the Warriors taking on the Broncos. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Just want to play you, gentlemen, a couple of bits of audio that caught my attention during the week. One is I just saw bits of this in an interview with Matt Gillett. We mentioned earlier the fact that he's now out for some time with a serious neck injury that he sustained in round one, has played through with that injury. Potentially dangerous, obviously, and nothing to do with the medical staff, but that's just the way it was. Didn't know that he had that injury. I saw an interview on Nine on TV, and just have a listen to the emotion that's in Matt Gillett's voice.
Oh, I think I was, very shocked and surprised. Sorry. So I'm just glad that I can, still be a father. There's a lot more to life than playing rugby league, and their number one priority.
Extraordinary. I mean, the emotion there, him kind of realising, I guess, the potential catastrophe that has been averted for him. A bloke who loves to go out and run around playing footy, but it kind of...
Plays tough too.
Plays really tough.
Yeah. Kind of doesn't get a lot of injuries either.
Puts things in perspective, though, doesn't it? When
well,
you see,
it's hard on his sleeves, and obviously he's got a young son, I think. But just it does put it in perspective. You know, I remember when Gordon Tallis sort of had that sort of neck injury, and him coming back too. I mean, he'll have a couple of months out or whatever, but just not knowing. How did they find out? Can I ask that question?
Yeah, well, there was apparently a different doctor or something, a scan. He suddenly started to feel, he wasn't in too much pain, but then he said it was still there. There was an ongoing pain. So they went and had a scan. Apparently it was very difficult to read to actually see the little hairline fractures that there were. So once that was discovered, then they quickly said, well...
Interesting to see how he comes back too, obviously, getting so emotional about the injury and knowing what could have been if he can fully recover psychologically.
Absolutely.
Because Gordon Tallis will tell you too, like, mate, when he came back, he was never the same, and that's sort of why he probably hung up earlier than he wanted to, you know?
One of the great things, obviously, we saw last week was Ricky Stewart on the sideline, and it was great when he's emotional, he's enjoying himself, jumping up and down on the sideline as Raiders had a victory was terrific. Again, there's just a couple of pieces of audio I want to play to you gentlemen. I'm not sure whether the person that Ricky is telling this week, the critics that he has a crack at, is exactly, in fact, himself, given the criticism he laid on his own team last week and then turned it around. Have a listen to first last week and then this week's response.
Soft football, soft pieces of play, soft choices, and I've probably protected them for too long, and over the last 3 weeks I've thought their effort was there. There was no effort in that first half. That wasn't us, and it was soft. And personally, I'm disappointed in myself because I should have reacted the same way after our first loss against the Gold Coast because of our soft play in the last 10 minutes of that game and our soft play in the last 10 minutes of our second game and our third game has cost us 3 wins through soft passages of play, which just started in another part of the game tonight and got them off to a start that was a very, very tough to pull back. Why should I make changes when they deliver that crap? They should be all owning up to themselves and say, I want to play to try and get myself out of it. Because what they dished up tonight, they should be embarrassed to put a Raiders jumper on.
All the critics were telling me over the last month that we were an unfit football team. We played with 5 interchange last week, so I think that shoved it straight back in their face.
So he's got the pie and put it straight back in his own face, I would have thought. I love the way he does wear his heart on his sleeve.
That's Ricky's mind games on Ricky and his team. So,
it's absolutely brilliant, as is the man who's just walked in. We're going to get a lot of detail from him in a moment. Sterlo, g'day.
Hello, guys. Did Ricky just give himself an uppercut?
He gave himself an uppercut.
What about, mate? I'm bouncing. Absolutely bouncing. Coming in on the back of last week being the highest rating Saturday afternoon call we've ever done. Apparently nearly doubled our audience last week.
Is that right?
Well, it must be right because Finchie told me that.
That will be true. Sterlo, stick around. We've got so much to get through in the next half hour leading up to that call. It will be the Warriors taking on the Broncos. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. Triple M just rocking the footy as we like to do on a Saturday afternoon, and as we always like to do is welcome the great Peter Sterling into the microphone. Sterlo, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a little bit concerned. My daughter's gone to her first race meeting today.
She's at Winx.
I'm kind of hoping she loses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to win.
It's become a habit.
This is a good idea. I wouldn't mind doing this on a Saturday afternoon. But wow. Yes, I'm a bit jealous, actually.
So the apple hasn't fallen far from the tree. Well, is that what you're
telling me? Remains to be seen.
I thought you were nervous because you knew Hoops was there.
Well, now I'll be on the phone to her straight away and say, we have an emergency at home. You need to be back by 4 o'clock.
Because she spent her life looking at the nude nut father and she goes and says,
The nude nut father?
Well, I'm sorry, this is responding to a fair comment.
No, fair comment, because I have been called worse.
Well, so is my hair. My hair has been attacked during the day by Ryan Girdler and Wendell Saylor.
Well, whoever cut it attacked it.
Well, I paid $67 for this.
Tony.
I did pay $67
for this. You obviously got a massage and the rest with it.
I would want change if they charged me $6.70.
Well, sadly,
you need to get a quote next time.
That's not what happened. Stella, what has caught your eye over the beginning of round six?
Oh, well, I was down at Wynn last night. Really good game. A lot of penalties again, but to have 60 points was a bit of a surprise score down there and a pleasant surprise at that. And just some of the individual efforts. Matt Dufty, the two tries he scored were, honestly, Matt Moylan has got no idea which way Matt Dufty went on that second try.
Yeah,
he stepped in three times before he got to him and he was gone.
And Matt Moylan was just standing straight up and still, stock still. It was hilarious.
I think he's still in shock. And I just thought it was a really good, really good game down there. They made a charge, the Sharks. You know, the call against Josh Dugan scoring when Valentine Holmes got that fingernail on it, that sort of pricked the balloon. But they were coming home, but they responded really well. The Dragons, I think, was mentioned last night in the history of our game. 6-0 after the opening month and a half, only three teams have ever not gone on to play finals. And one of those, you're going to go back to Norths in '50s or something.
Yep.
North Queensland in 2006. But this is a different football team, the Dragons side, that couldn't finish off the second half last year. But it does take some pressure off, doesn't it? If you win 12 games, that pretty much, well, it certainly has in majority of seasons of late, will get you into finals football. They're only going to win 6 in the next 18, you know, that's finals football, and then whatever they can do on top of that looks like final four. But there's a long way to go, obviously. But, boy, it takes some pressure off at the end of the season. Unlike a side like Parramatta, they've all of a sudden got to win the majority of their games, even a quarter of the way into the season. So
yeah,
I thought they were good last night. I thought South Sydney were excellent.
Weren't they?
Mm. Yeah, really good. I haven't seen a side carved up through the middle like the Roosters were for a long, long time. It wasn't just Damien Cook, but he was the main catalyst, I suppose. And I guess Melbourne kind of bounced back the way we expected them to after such an uncharacteristic performance the week before. Effort went in from Newcastle. And again, the penalty flow in that was profound. I think they got the first seven and Melbourne, boom. And then when Newcastle got a string of penalties, they hit back into it. So, obviously.
And how good is Billy Slater at getting people sent to the sin bin? It's a great skill. He's done it now twice in three games.
I've seen Billy Slater been hit by like two Mack trucks in some games and not fall over. He got brushed.
Somebody sneezed.
Brushed yesterday by Lachlan. He didn't even get touched by Lewis a couple of weeks ago and he's gone down twice.
There was a beautiful moment involving Billy Slater when Kalyn Ponga went through.
Yeah.
And you just, it was just the anticipation that, once he'd gone through, you thought, Billy's, he's got to be coming across from somewhere. And Billy got him and that.
And
you
just the wonder. Ball.
It was just kind of the old and the new, with all due respect to
The funny thing is, I think we've all seen how smart a footballer Kalyn is, and he had support on the inside. And I get the feeling, Pete, that when he got through, he knew it was one-on-one with Billy. He's got that awareness, and he really tried to take him on. I really believe that he did, and had a smile on his face when it was over, you got me this time.
Yeah, he did. And I think as a viewer sitting there, I'm thinking, down the track, it might not be the same result. No. It might be different, I thought that was a really good
moment.
Of what we can look forward to.
People are throwing their hands up in terms of New South Wales State of Origin, their bid for it. Certainly a lot of back row.
I thought you were talking about the fans.
No.
Not yet. Things are good.
Now, I bought my grand final tickets, by the way, but that's another story completely.
Did you buy them off Pete?
He was just out of the boot of his car.
I'm one of the 0.08 Parramatta fans who did buy tickets.
Very confident. But there's plenty of back rowers who are doing it, and we mentioned Cam McGuinness is doing a great job for the Dragons. He was terrific off the back of Damien Cook, who ran 120 yards in the first half for South Sydney and was sensational. Then you've got Nathan Peet sitting there, who is the incumbent. What is it in, you know, you were involved last year, and if with an incumbency in something like State of Origin, how much does it mean? I mean, how well do you have to be going to push out that guy who hasn't been there or is showing form over 8 weeks from him jumping into your jersey?
It's a difficult one. You know, it's incumbency, I suppose, if it comes down to a choice, it might swing it. You know, if a selector can't split two, maybe the incumbency might, you know, coming off a losing series, you know, it obviously doesn't mean as much, I suppose. Yep. And with a new coach in, you know, Brad Fittler's already come out and said basically, you know, it's a clean slate to a large degree. You know, I think we all know that there are some certainties already, you know. Unless injury intervenes, I've got no doubt that Jake Trbojevic will be there. I personally believe that Reuben Campbell-Gillard is now in that category as well. And, you know, you would think that the skipper, Boyd Cordner. But outside of that, I think there are some back rowers who I thought were really good last year who are under a little bit of pressure. And I guess I'm speaking of, you know, Josh Jackson is an outstanding Origin player, but... Yep. You know, probably
did he get player of the series last year, Peter, or was that the year before?
The year before.
Okay.
And he's... compared to some of the other ones, he probably doesn't have as much football in him, if you know what I mean. Like, he doesn't use the football. So that might count against him. But he's a player that you can trust. And at Origin level, when you speak of trust, there are some players who stand out. Frizzell will be there, you know, for sure. You know, Wade Graham, there might be a little bit of a question mark there. You can't fit them all in. Mm. The guy who's really thrown his hat into the ring, and mentioned it last time I was talking to you, you know, is Tarek Sims.
Yeah.
He's and the right people are talking him up as well. So... You know, a couple of seasons ago, or maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I envisaged that Tarek Sims would have been a regular Origin player by now. But he hasn't played much consistent football with all the injuries that he's had and change of clubs and that. Now we're seeing his best. And I mentioned again last night that he's got that intimidation factor about him, that if you're a ball carrier, you know, you're using your peripheral vision.
Absolutely.
Where's he coming from?
He seems to me, Pete, like he's the sort of player that when he's in really good club form, he'll elevate that form into an Origin and have maybe a bumper series. But I don't think he's the kind of guy that you can say every year he's going to be an Origin player.
Maybe not. Yeah. So you strike while the iron is hot, and especially when he's going to have Dragons teammates around him, which it would appear to be the case.
And he's gone from the middle from last year to the edge, which is really suiting his game. All right, plenty more to get to as we start previewing this game. The Warriors and the Broncos look ahead to the Raiders and the Eels as well. It's Satellite Triple M NRL. Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Peter Sterling with you as you head towards kickoff. The Warriors taking on the Broncos from Mount Smart Stadium. The Warriors yet to be defeated in season 2018. The Broncos are in desperate need for another 2 points. Before we get to having a look at that game, Sterlo, your Eels taking on the Raiders. They do have Clint Gutherson back. And
Bevan
Coach
French as well.
Yeah, exactly. And Coach Wayne Arthur says that he's actually brought a bit of energy to the team throughout the week.
So Wayne Arthur, is he taking over from his brother Brad? Or?
Well, he plays tennis
as well.
I know
he's under pressure, Brad.
He plays tennis at the same time. It's terrific.
Yeah, sorry, what was the question again? Oh, no.
Anybody with two first names really, you know, knocks me around. Like Riley Jacks. I just think it's a nightclub I'm going to. All right.
So, oh, there's a voice of experience.
Exactly. Clint Gutherson, I mean, is there pressure? It's a bummer when you finish a season injured as he did last year, playing such great footy. Then before you come back, the season's on the line.
Yeah. Well, he's not the saviour. You know, and that's not the way he'll be viewed, but he certainly enhances their chances of playing better football because he's been great for them since coming across. First game back from a lengthy break, you know, your expectations can't be particularly high. But by throwing him straight back into the fullback position, obviously they're very happy with the way that he's rehabbed and I guess fitness levels. You know, he can swap around with Bevan French if need be, drop out on the wing for a little while. But you know, to me, you know, the loss of Nathan Brown is big because he was great last week for them. And, you know, we're struggling for points. And the one thing that Canberra Raiders, even when they're not going as well as they can, they seem to be able to get the ball over the line fairly consistently. So, you know, somehow we've got to find more variety than we did last week. We got into the game and, you know, I think it was there to be won as such, and keeping that Penrith side to a low score has got to be a confidence builder. But there's an enormous pressure on, but Gutherson and French coming back into the side just doesn't solve any, you know, major problems for us. It's just, you know, they add to the depth of our squad.
Yeah. Rapana and Leilua starting to get back that kind of together, they look so dangerous on that edge, don't they?
Yeah, and that they do play their best football at Canberra Raiders when those big men, especially comes back through the middle. Leilua, when he gets in behind that play the ball area and gets that roll going and that they continue that on, that's, you know, that's when Canberra are really hard to stop. So he starts their sets off particularly well, but they do combine. The one thing, if you're a Parramatta defender and Joey Leilua goes into dummy half.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, you know he's coming down the blind. Mm. He's just, it's like this magnet for him. It can be a 1 metre blind, it can be a 10 metre blind, but he's coming there anyway. So please, if you're the blind side winger and centre for Parramatta, be ready.
Why do you make the move, Jack Bird, into the halves for the Broncos?
I don't know if it's a sign of the future, but I don't believe Jack Bird went up there to play in the centres. But it's, you know, the conditioning is still isn't there for Jack Bird. You know, he still looks chunky, doesn't he? And his involvement hasn't been great. But Nick Arima being out, I don't know how many alternatives maybe Wayne Bennett had. So I'm really looking forward to this game. You know, take Matt Gillard out of the side as well, up against the Warriors team. I can't believe I keep saying it. They're going so well and just, you know. So, Jack Bird, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. I don't know where his confidence levels are. His involvement hasn't been great. So thrown into that role in a pretty big game for the Brisbane Broncos, it's quite an ask. I think he's a footballer. I think he's a wonderful player, but I think he's far from his best.
It also throws a little bit more weight on Milford, who last week, Pete, was their shining light, wasn't he? You know, I mean, you know, he was the one that sort of made any sort of line breaks, also managed a fair bit of the kicking game, but Nick Arima still did a fair bit of that. You'd think today with Jack going back in there for the first time, his focus will be on his running game and defending and energy, whereas Milford now is going to have to wear the weight of the management.
Well, Milford last week, as you point, like he was a shining light, but he was also, he also mucked up a lot. Like he threw two passes that hit the ground that were tries.
Yeah. You know?
So he's, if he can start to execute and finish off what he initiates, then you know, all of a sudden Brisbane are, you know, attacking in a much more effective fashion. But
does Boyd need to step in a little bit?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think he's fit as such in relation. He can't do what he used to do. It's still an influence there because of his experience in that. But I think they need more from him for sure. So it's a real test this one for Brisbane. And you know they've got this us against them mentality going this year, and Wayne's really pushing that as he's done so in the past. But it's not so much us against them when you take on a side over in New Zealand. So. Who are going that well?
Well, they're sitting on second on the ladder, thanks to EWFW Consulting Engineers, and it has surprised everybody, as you mentioned. Who do you think will like get the job done?
Oh, look, everyone's talking about, you know, the halves and of the Warriors. Isaac Luke, for mine, has been the big difference there this year. I mean, if you've got a dangerous dummy half, it just changes the way the markers react and takes a lot of weight off your halves, and his form's been exceptional. I think they'll be too good over there today again.
Tony, you know I've been a fan for the Warriors for a long, long time. I think they'll win again. I'm on the bandwagon and have been for a couple of weeks now.
All right, well, get ready because the call is next as Triple M rocks the footy.